Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
It is The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Brian Decker is with us today out of Baltimore, Vice President, Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio, and we'll be talking with Brian for three segments here. We'll tell you more about Brian as we get into the show as well. In just a few moments, it's Jean Bliss, our customer experience person, and Visa she's talking about today. Pavlov would be proud. I guess that means really use your Visa card and then use it some more. Right, Brad?
And then ring a bell and do it again.
It's amazing what credit card companies can do. Not necessarily Visa specifically, but can do to people. Cirque du Soleil, the Marketing Insider with Patrick Meyer a little bit later on in the hour, and that's what he's talking about as well. What are you holding there?
Wait a minute. Is that why Patrick's wearing those tights today?
It's quite possible. I didn't say anything because I really didn't want to offend him. He doesn't look real good in him, you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, he doesn't. And, you know, I don't need to know that much about him, frankly. But anyway, you know,
it looks
Disney,
like there's not much to know, so what do you want?
Well, that's between you and Patrick. Walt Disney, the world's largest producer of animated films, faces the steepest drop in movie revenue, Ray, this year. Among the major U.S. studios, Disney's studio revenue may fall as much as 15% to $6.4 billion. And that, just by comparison, that's from $7.49 billion in 2007, when results are in by the box office success. Also factoring in the fact that this is the results of the box office successes, Pirates of the Caribbean, as well as the At the World's End and Ratatouille, your favorite, I know, animated feature. Revenue from recent releases include worldwide box office, home video, pay, and free TV is expected to fall this year to $2.9 billion. And again, by comparison, that's down from $3.8 billion in 2007. So, tough times with the movie studios and especially Walt Disney. So,
well, let's hope that it fixes itself, because what would we do without Walt Disney, right? Or something like that. YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube is tracking viewer origins now. I thought they always did that, but apparently that's something brand new. They introduced a new feature for video creators that helps them better understand where viewers are coming from. The new feature, part of the site's Insights tool, itself introduced about 4 weeks ago. With the new feature, YouTube is offering creators a discovery tab that shows whether viewers of their videos landed there by searching on YouTube or Google, browsing under related videos, receiving a link to the video from an email or website, or they watched it in an embedded player off of YouTube. YouTube says Insight provides information on the specific YouTube or Google search queries that led to your video, as well as the external websites driving traffic to your content. Talk about accountability, huh, Brett?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully they remain anonymous with that data so that it's, you know, don't come into privacy issues. Certainly Facebook has been struggling with their faux pas of not a few months ago, I guess, when they tried to come up with what they thought was a clever advertising idea. Oops, our participants don't like us disclosing this publicly. So YouTube, hopefully with their Insight technology there, have come across something that will work for them.
Well, you know, it is a double-edged sword. There's no doubt about it. It's a double-edged sword. What that is, you know, and we have stuff up on YouTube as well. We put up a singer to do kind of a global focus group for his new songs up there. But the
how's
thing
that going for you?
Oh, it was perfect. It was a great opportunity for him to get exposure and to get feedback from a couple thousand people. I mean, what better a focus group to have than to have people come and rate your stuff? So all in all, it was a good deal. But it always bothers me when it says, welcome R. Schillens. It's like, huh?
We're watching you, like, R.
Yeah, right. And R's not watching anything, R or X. So that's a good thing. So, you know, it's got a good side and a downside as well for YouTube. But all in all, not a bad place to be. Did you have something?
Well, I thought we'd take a time. Are we going to take a time out and do Patrick or Gene, or we're going to go ahead and continue this? We can do it either way.
We could do Andy, or no, we'll do. Well, let's do Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Visa Pavlov would be proud. Let's find out what that's all about right now.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
They're not using peanut butter and a bell to change our behavior as consumers, but the latest Visa commercials sure have behavior modification in mind. The messaging in the most recent Visa commercials is about as subtle as being hit over the head with a baseball bat. Use your check card or you slow down progress. The message, woe is you if you try to use a check in a retail establishment. We've got a combination of fear and good old guilt at work here, telling customers that all things productive halt when you whip out your checkbook. Is this good for consumers? Probably. In a world of convenience and efficiency management, there's some merit to moving to the card system. I'm just not sure who wins more, consumers getting zippy service at checkout or Visa, who's earning fees with every zip of that card. Zip, zip, what would Pavlov do?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Gene. On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and Brian Decker is coming up here in just a moment. Brian is Vice President and Director of Media Services. After having his creative portfolio rejected by numerous creative directors with the refrain, maybe you should try media, Brian took their advice. 25 years later, I'm sure a lot richer. Brian's creative passion remains, but from a creative media solutions perspective, his experience has led to the development of numerous award-winning media strategies for broadcast, interactive, print, out-of-home, and sports sponsorships. Brian's media strategies garnered a silver Effie for the Nature Conservancy. Brian views the Carton-Donofrio media team as the other creative discipline within the agency. His agency experience includes positions at Gray, HHCC, McCann Erickson, and Minson Hoke, and most recently he was the executive VP, media director at Eisner Communications in Baltimore. He was there for 16 years. That's a long time. Yeah. I could go on and on, but so does the show. So we need to stop talking about Brian and talk about what you've got there.
Well, and by the way, CartonDonofrio.com, we had Robert Arena, who I believe was a VP of Interactive, on from their firm earlier this year. Now we're having Brian on. Don't you think it's time that they, you know, scratch our back a little bit and maybe promoted the show through their website? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here, Ray.
Well, we asked them over, Brad, so that's fine. You know, they can do whatever they want. That's fine.
I just told him hostage, not let him out of the green room until he agrees to that.
Possibly so.
Real quickly, I mentioned the Walt Disney. Apparently, Time Warner's having problems as well with cutting 450 jobs from New Line Cinema in a highly anticipated move following an earlier decision to fold the movie studio under the wing of Warner Brothers Entertainment. And unfortunately, the decision to fold the studio under Warner ended the New Line's 40 years as an independent studio. So an independent falls and comes back into the fold, but becomes a part of Warner Brothers Entertainment. So,
okay,
tough times in the movie industry.
I guess so. Time Warner also, the AOL opportunity there, what they're doing is launching a system that will allow small web publishers to sell and manage ads on their sites. Very interesting. The advertising.com, that's the website, said the self-service tool called Pub Access makes it simpler for website owners to make more money from their sites. Site owners can tap into the advertising.com's huge base of online advertisers and will have control over which ads appear on their web properties. It's also a way for advertising.com, which matches buyers of advertising to thousands of websites with extra ad space to sell, to wrap more publishers into its network. Already, advertising.com is the middleman for ads seen by roughly, 90% of the internet audience every month. Amazing, isn't it? We've got Brian Decker here in just a moment, and we'll bring him on the Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
On The Advertising Show, as promised, with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth, Brian Decker, Vice President and Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio Partners, cartondonofrio.com. Hey, Brian, out of Baltimore, welcome this weekend to The Advertising Show. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Ray and Brad. That's great to be here.
Yeah, and as Ray mentioned during your bio read earlier, last segment, great opening line about being rejected by numerous creative directors after wanting to get into the creative area. And obviously, getting into media has served you well. And, of course, it wasn't so long ago, Brian, I don't have to tell you this, creative was not a term that you would hear associated with an agency's media solutions department, if you will. What problems are most of your clients looking to your firm to solve these days?
Well, it really depends upon their situation. We try to be, obviously, marketing partners with all our, we're not vendors, so that's really important. But it ranges from, trying to figure out the best ways to really connect with their target audience, whether it be business to business or consumer, because we know it's so fragmented out there the way people receive their information. And so we're really trying to come up with the most unique solutions to set us apart from the competition.
And so do you find that the old, worn-out term integration, digital and traditional media mix, is always a part of your firm's recommendations to your clients, or they tend to not wanting to step into that digital world quite yet and staying with the more tried and true?
Most of our clients have obviously latched on to the digital aspect, and the way we try to work it here is everybody's integrated. So usually you find in many agencies where the media department's on a different floor or somewhere else, we're all integrated together with the creative and account service folks. So It works very well. No idea is a bad idea. It doesn't matter where it comes from until the client tells us it's a bad idea, and then somebody can take the blame for it.
So you're practicing the media neutral strategy there, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for those that may not be familiar with media neutral, explain that for us, please.
Basically, we don't go into any media planning function with a set idea of, where the media should be. We work as a team and try to figure out what is best for the client from their marketing objectives. And if it's TV, it's TV. But in most cases, it's no longer TV. It could be a combination of online, from direct mail to even postcards to catalogs. It really all depends. And that idea, again, can come from any place.
Yeah, and I think it opens up a plethora of ideas there's so many agencies today, I'm not going to name any names, but many agencies were once known as television agencies, and TV was doing great TV, I might add, was always part of what they provided as far as their client recommendations. And I think a lot of that has created some problems for agencies where they can't shake that reputation. And you bring up television, so let's talk a little bit about the television broadcast networks. Are they trying to redefine themselves today, Brian? And if so, how are they going about this? In other words, other than just simply putting some content on the web, are they doing a very good job of redefining themselves?
Well, they have a long way to go. I think, when you look back and look at the rating decline and the rating erosion over the last couple of years, it continues. And sure, they're doing everything they can to refresh the content with new programming, and obviously the writer's strike had a lot to do with it. I always laugh and say, you're no longer NBC or ABC. You're really the distributor of content. So you're NDC. not that they'll ever change their names to do that, but they recognize that, people want the content any place, anytime they want it, and they really do not, watch networks. They watch content. And think of yourself, when you think about watching Lost or The Office, do you say, I watch The Office on NBC, or I watch NBC and I watch The Office? No, you just watch The Office, or I just watch Lost. So they are recognizing that, and when you look at what they're doing from a digital aspect, they are pushing out their content everywhere and every which way they can to get people to watch it. The question becomes is that, you know, with the rating erosions, especially from a from an advertising standpoint, is how do you capture those eyeballs in all the different devices that people are going to be using and using now to view content?
Yeah. And, you touch upon how networks are making their programming available online to consumers, and whether they view them on their laptops or smartphones, it's all out there, free for the taking. Are networks, do you think, doing a very good job of monetizing their online platforms of this content?
They are, but I don't think to the full extent that they have the ability to do that, and that will be coming in the future because of all the regulatory issues and the must carries that you have on a local basis. You know, you look at what's happening with mobile TV, and at the NAB show recently, the broadcasters detailed a mobile DTV device. It's basically a chip, and it's going to be used in, I think, in LG and Harris phones, or primarily Harris phones, where you're actually going to be able to pick up your local TV signals in HD. And hopefully it'll be probably in the market sometime this time next year. My question is that I don't, you know, this chip is so easy. And if you look at your ability to watch live TV via your computer or your laptop, there is something that's been around since 03 for Macintosh, which is called ITV. It's an ITV tuner. It's a little stick. It costs only $129. You stick it into your laptop, and you can watch HDTV signals from your local market. The question is that when can they ever build that into your laptop and your PC? You can probably buy the chip for next to nothing. It's just getting the manufacturers to do it just for the U.S. market, because obviously our HDTV signals are different than that in Europe. And hopefully someday that's going to happen. But, you know, you're going to have that whole regulatory issue that it's a must-carry. So the satellite TV systems must carry your local TV station. So is that going to ever happen on the web? So I can sit there and watch when I go to ABC or NBC or FoxRightNow.com, it's usually the day after I get to see the show. Well, what if I wanted to watch it live and I'm not at my television? Well, I can watch my local affiliate in a year on my phone. Why can't I do that on my computer?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Owners of more than 800 local TV stations said they've formed a group that's testing three standards for sending local digital TV signals to cell phones, laptops, and other mobile devices. They're calling it the Open Mobile Video Coalition, which was announced at the NAB recently in Las Vegas, and they say that the station owners are hoping that transmitting directly to mobile devices would give them a third means of delivering local programming and capturing revenue. And
it's all about being different, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, and hats off to them for getting together and hoping to get that out. According to this press release, they're hoping to get that out sometime next February.
About
the same time they're getting that analog thing transferred over to digital.
That would be the same time. Brian Decker, our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Brian is Vice President and Director of Media Services for Carton Donofrio. We've got more with Brian coming up here in just a moment. The Advertising Show being powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com, and a powerful marketing platform called Tendency to boot on that site. So check it out. Back with more in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Brian Decker is Vice President and Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio, and our very special guest here on this weekend edition of the Advertising Show. Brian, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Brad and Ray.
Yeah, Brian, what new media trends get you excited these days?
Anything and any place I can put an ad. If I can reach someone through tattoos, or I can reach someone through skywriting, or I can reach someone on somebody's pane of glass on a building, I will do it.
Yeah, and I guess the key to that is having a client that's open to that kind of risk-taking. I mean, I call it risk-taking. It's only risky for the client. We in the business always like to see innovation out there, but how often do you have great ideas that the client just isn't willing to go along with?
Well, sometimes they're afraid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's too bad, because I think in today's world, 2008, not taking a risk in new media, alternative media, is pretty risky in itself.
It goes back to the 70s, Brad, when they watched that WKRP episode of dropping turkeys from the helicopter.
Turkeys don't fly.
That's right. That's not going to happen to me, is it?
Yeah, right. Right, that's burned into their brain, and they don't want to risk that. You know, it's been said over and over that consumers are now in control. If I hear that one more time, I think I'm going to, you know what, Ray. But describe for us how consumers are making their voices heard. And talk a little bit, Brian, if you would, what marketers are doing to collaborate with consumers today.
Yeah, I think when you look at the erosion of television and you see the migration over to the digital platforms. I mean, you look at what happened with March Madness, for instance. And March Madness, overall, the ratings are down somewhat, about 9%. But what is really interesting, and I'm not sure if they made it all up, the rating decline, but when you look online, basically, you know, the first day, that Thursday, they basically, CBSSports.com, as well as its affiliates that had the video available, had roughly 1.7 million unique visitors to that site. That was for one day. That was more than they had in the entire season last year. So even with that dummy, the boss button, which was hit about 1.2 billion clicks, so people couldn't see, your boss could not see you playing online and watching TV online. Lot of it is, it's just, you're absolutely right, they want control. I want it where I want it, when I want it. Marketers are starting to realize that, and they're looking beyond just the traditional, the fold. And networks are starting to sell, like CBS. They're starting to sell their entire package in the upfront. It's just not television. It could be radio. It could be out of home. Obviously, in the hopes of capturing greater revenue in the upfront market. But I think that you're going to find more and more clients are looking for those integrated solutions.
Yeah, so how do you, let's say that you have 1.7 million, as you described, that arrive at your online platform, and I agree with you. I think a significant percentage of those would have been viewing had they not been viewing through traditional channels, had they not been online. How do you collaborate with these consumers on the digital platforms today? And are we talking social networks, or what are we talking about here?
Well, you have to be very careful with social networks. You know, the reason why they're called social networks is because I want to socialize with you. I don't want to have advertisers come in and say, you're going to listen to my message now. And when you really start to look at how social networks have evolved, it's very much from a generational perspective. Facebook is definitely for college. MySpace used to be for kids. And then when a lot of parents and teachers associations started saying, whoa, you got to be careful with that, and the kids heard about it, they just migrated somewhere. They created someplace else. So I think marketers really have to be very careful on how they interact with consumers, especially on social sites, because they're really there just to talk to their friends. So you can't be as overt as an advertising. You have to work with them a little bit based upon their behavior. It's going to be, I think, more viral from a social networking side.
So do you think they've figured it out yet, or is it still evolving?
I think it's very much evolving. It's evolving. And, you know, today's Facebook, there's going to be something else tomorrow for the next generation.
Yeah, and I think the key is trying to figure out, as Ray was mentioning earlier, how do you balance the privacy issues, I guess, with being able to deliver meaningful marketing messages that are, you know, connecting with a consumer that wants to hear about these marketing messages because they've shown or defined an interest in that particular product or business category, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have, what, a couple minutes left here, right?
Actually, about 40 seconds, Brad. Go ahead.
Well,
Why don't we do this? Let's wrap up this set, and we'll get our question in here in just a moment. How does that sound?
Okay, sure.
On the Advertising Show, Brian Decker, our special guest. Brian's in Baltimore. We're just about everywhere else. Brian is Vice President and Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio Partners. CartonDonofrio.com is their website. Hope you're enjoying the show. We've got more coming your way here in just a moment on the Advertising Show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
I love the sound of the rain.
And I love the taste of your fresh fruit coffee.
Oh, thanks, but it's not fresh fruit.
Time really flies, too, with great guests like Brian Decker, Vice President and Director of Media Services at Carton Donofrio Partners. Brian, great to have you here on The Advertising Show.
Thank you, Ray and Brad. Great to be here.
You know, and just to wrap up, you know, we're talking about content, and content is king, they say nowadays. You know, not so many years ago, we were discussing with the Cable Advertising Bureau CEO about how when people view television, just to use that as an example, people, viewers are not sitting there saying, am I on a cable network? Okay, now am I on broadcast network? They just watch the content, and I think a lot can be taken from how television has evolved, and that they just view TV content. They don't think in terms of whether they're viewing cable content or broadcast content. A lot can be translated over to digital platforms and consuming content and not really being, well, as they say, platform agnostic, I guess, is the term we're hearing a lot about today. Brian, you say innovation is the key. I'm curious, how do you mean this? And also, what are some of the obstacles that hold back innovation in both media and marketing today?
Well, I think a lot of it stems from fear. A lot of client marketers are afraid to take a chance because they have certain bottom lines that they have to meet and match, and they have to report to a CFO. I think the beauty of what Dove did with P&G is just take everything online and run it that way. I think that was very bold of them to do that. That was very innovative because they really recognized that, you know, the consumers are part of your brand. You can say anything you want about the brand, but the consumers really make your brand because they make that come alive, and they're the ones that buy it. So the more that you connect your consumer with your brand, the more likelihood you are going to have success. And you have to take that and translate that based upon their habits online or even offline.
Yeah, you know, being innovative is certainly a risk, but yet if you're first out, you know, you get a lot of rewards, such as the Dove example that you give, and yet we're still all figuring out this digital world that we are struggling with. And you know, something as simple as the huge failure of Bud TV, but yet others, other marketers have figured out how to create social networks behind a particular brand. And so, you know, if you can figure it out and get yourself out there, I think that's a worthwhile pursuit nowadays. I'm going to give you a chance to brag a little bit, if I can, Brian. The interactive team at Carton Donofrio won a Webby recently, as Ray mentioned in reading your bio during our first segment, for its work Campaign for Our Children. Share with us a little about the campaign and why it was chosen as worthy of being awarded a Webby.
I probably was not here during that time, so I'm not really the right person to answer that. I've only been here about a year and a half, and I think that campaign happened before I got here, so I wish I could explain that.
Well, don't worry about that. It's honesty and broadcasting. That's our slogan here, right, Ray? What do you think is the most important thing one can do to try to define future trends rather than conform to ones that are already out there? I mean, you know, by the time something is a trend, it's often overpriced or loses its cachet and not as exciting anymore. So I guess I'm asking, Brian, how can an interactive firm like your own be a trendsetter rather than a trend follower?
Well, I think you have to look at culture. I think you have to see where the culture is going, and it's really interesting that the culture is very fragmented now, because everybody used to sit around and watch the Ed Sullivan Show, and kind of defined who we were as a culture.
Sure, yeah.
And it's so fragmented now that there's many cultures everywhere. And you really have to understand what's happening, from a psychological and family lifestyle to really help you define what is the best way to connect with your prospect?
Oh, yeah, and you know, we just have, what, about a minute left here, Ray?
Actually, we are out of time, Brad.
Well, there you go. I'm going to have to start paying more attention to the clock.
No, it's to your back. That's to your advantage, I guess, in a way. Brian, it's been great having you on the show. Brian Decker, Vice President and Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio Partners. Great interview. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you, Brad. It's been a pleasure.
We've got more of the Advertising Show coming your way, and hope you stay with us here in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for four.
Many thanks to our special guest today, Brian Decker, Vice President and Director of Media Services, Carton Donofrio Partners. And next week, well, it's Joe Pyne, co-author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. And that's a good thing to know, I guess, when you're trying to market a product or service. Video ads, this is weird. Video ads are as effective as television ads, the study says. A survey says. And ads embedded in YouTube videos perform just as well as ads on television, according to Google. Those are the why wouldn't they say that? Those are the findings from a study commissioned by Google to measure the effectiveness of 30-second ads on YouTube, on TV, and embedded into online content. That is a Harris Interactive study. Google says 30-second commercials fared the same on YouTube and embedded into video content as they did on TV, generating the same level of intent to purchase, engagement, and interest in the brand. Study also says that online ads are better at communicating the brand because of the slightly higher accuracy in correct brand recall. Very interesting. That means that ads shown on YouTube or embedded onto online video content are at least as effective as TV ads, Google says. So, very interesting. I don't know what to think of that, but I'm glad they seem to find what they were looking for there. It's like, are you good and successful? Yeah, we're good and successful, so that's good. What the heck?
And as you say, why wouldn't you expect to hear Google say that? You know, we've all heard widgets that are the hot topic nowadays. Publishing giant Random House, Ray, has said they're going to be offering users a widget. I found this interesting, to browse its books.
Not the widgets, a widget. Yeah, okay, good.
That's correct. Right. The widget will let users flick through pages of over 500 titles, as they would in a real-life bookshop, and reading parts of the text and browsing images, et cetera. And users can also, of course, not missing an opportunity here, click through to buy the particular book they're looking at. And Random House also hopes to make 5,000 titles available by the end of the year. Random House said that they're making the widget available to everyone, whether they're a retailer, author, blogger, online book community, or just simply a book enthusiast, with the overall goal, of course, to spread widgets as far and wide across the internet as possible. Smart idea, frankly, and I think they'll do very well. And I think one day soon, all publishers will have a widget that allows you to sample all of the content before buying.
Not an original name for the product, but that's okay. You know, like, yeah, I've always wanted a widget back when I was 5 years old, back in 1955.
Well, actually, that's just the general category. I'm not sure what they're calling their particular widget, but yeah.
Okay. Patrick Meyer is here with us on the advertising show. Cirque du Soleil is what he's talking about today.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about an amazing phenomenon around the world, Cirque du Soleil. And the reason I'm talking about it is because of its amazing brand experience and how they market it. When I grew up, circus was Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey. Then Cirque du Soleil came along and reinvented the term circus, did it around the world, and touched millions of people. But what they do that stands out that relates to you as a marketer and advertiser are a couple things. Unique product that goes a different way. Second, they over-deliver. Great experience from beginning to end. They inspire people. Third, they create advocates. The best form of marketing is word of mouth. Next, they use episodic marketing. There's an incredible amount of fanfare and episodic pre- and post-work that goes on. So creating episodes that come into people's world all around different Cirque du Soleils and as they tour. Next, they fit with people's lifestyle or entertainment lifestyle. So if you go to Vegas, it's there. If you go to Miami, it's there. If you live in Springfield, Illinois, they're coming there also. But you can also pick it up in music to enjoy it and savor it later. Or you can buy souvenirs and masks and different things. So they enable you to be touched by it in different ways. And lastly, they keep it fresh. It's constantly evolving, constantly intriguing people and bringing them in a new way. So as a marketer, you say, better brand experience, zig and zag differently than everybody else, over-deliver, inspire, create advocates, keep it fresh, and create an episodic approach that constantly evolves. That, my friend, is Cirque du Soleil.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Many thanks to Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Looking forward to Joe Pyne coming up next week. Co-author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. What is that you have there?
Well, before I look at this or share this, do you remember Joe Pyne, the old television program back in the 60s?
He was like
the original, I don't know how to say it. He would piss off his guest and they'd
exactly.
Have like weird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is this
so
the same guy? No,
I don't. Well, I doubt that it's the same guy, but it could be like the son or something. It'll be interesting to ask him.
Wow.
I'm sure he knows.
Yeah. I'm sure he does. Is your father named Joe Senior?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the good news from Hulu, the video portal jointly created by NBC Universal as well as News Corp, is that it sold out of advertising. Now the bad news is that for Hulu viewers. Yeah, for Hulu viewers, it's that there's more ads on the way. So this, according to Zucker, who is, of course, president of NBC Universal, the Silicon Alley insider noted Hulu has received favorable reviews for offering users the ability to watch full-length TV shows and didn't have much inventory to begin with, they claim. Yet it's obvious Zucker as well as Hulu execs are confident that the site's traffic to boost the numbers of ads sold will be able to handle the additional ads. The website also reported that Zucker continues to try to convince Disney, Viacom, and CBS to join the Hulu family. So when you got more visitors, cram more ads down their throat. I don't think that's such a good idea. What about you, Ray?
Well, on the flip side is your rates are too low. jack your rates up.
Yeah.
Maybe that would make
a lot
of sense.
Keep your inventory down. That's right. You're
yeah,
right.
Exactly. Less is more. Say that over and over again. It works.
Right.
It's
and
good.
We don't mean less Moonbez.
No. No, we don't. Although I kind of like him. He's kind of an interesting guy. We have Joe Pyne, as we said, co-author of Authenticity, coming up next week on The Advertising Show, What Consumers Really Want. Hope you enjoyed your visit today. We are always here 24-7 at theadvertisingshow.com with an incredible amount of content, and you'll find that right here. So tell a friend about that as well. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, pleased that you're stopping by today, one of the many thousands who stop by every week globally at theadvertisingshow.com. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.